Top stories, allegations surface about the CIA conducting medical experiments on detainees. The U.S. and the EU refuse to put Israel's nuclear program under the spotlight. Hamas describes President Obama's offer of aid to Gaza as a cheap stunt. And BP shares dive as the company struggles with the aftermath of an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It is 7 p.m. in Washington, D.C. and 3:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, disturbing new allegations have been raised about the CIA's treatment of terror suspects. International rights groups have called for an investigation into claims that CIA-led doctors conducted medical experiments on prisoners under the Bush administration. They say declassified documents show doctors illegally monitor terror suspects during harsh interrogation techniques like waterboarding. They collected data on the impact of techniques on prisoners. This was not to safeguard the inmates' health, but to make the techniques more efficient and provide their interrogators with legal alibi. The CIA has rejected the allegations. There have been numerous reports of human experiments performed in the United States dating back to the 1950s. The reports allege they were often conducted illegally and without the knowledge or consent of the test subjects. The International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna has wrapped up its regular meeting of the Board of Governors with a discussion of Israel and its nuclear arsenal. However, the U.S. and the EU refuse to put Israel's nuclear program under the spotlight.
The discussion on Israel at the IAEA started with a very optimistic and positive mood, with the South African delegation distributing souvenirs with the emblem of the Football World Cup. That positive mood, however, quickly disappeared after the first statements, that of the EU and the United States. The EU totally ignored the issue of the Israeli nuclear capabilities, while the US openly defended Tel Aviv, saying singling out Israel would politicize the work of the IAEA.
I don't know why countries in the boardroom are blaming and shaming Israel and calling out Israel. I mean, I don't think that is productive. I don't think that that's a positive way to go forward.
The comments, even though expected, caused an outrage among the Islamic nations and the non-aligned movement, which say Israel continues to defy the international community through its continued refusal to accede to the NPT and by not allowing the IAEA to inspect its nuclear program.
The discussion today showed a sort of contradiction in positions of certain states that considered that we have to discuss, or that this board is the right place and time to discuss the situation in the North Korean Peninsula, in the Korean Peninsula, while at the same time thinking that it's not the right time and place to discuss the capabilities of Israel. This is where the contradiction is.
In 2009, the IAEA General Conference decided to include the Israeli nuclear capabilities in the agenda of the board, its decision-making body. Before a decision is taken, however, the IAEA will collect the views of all member nations on how to achieve a Middle East free of nuclear weapons. Addressing journalists, Iran's ambassador to the IAEA, Ali Asghar Soltanieh, called on the IAEA to break what he called a vicious circle and use all its power to make Israel accede to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
I'm sure that from now on we have started a new trend of political pressure, and Israel has no other choice than to join NPT and put all nuclear activities under the safeguards, full scope safeguards of NPT.
The first IAEA discussion on Israel since 1992 ended with a simple enumeration of all views expressed at the meeting. Analysts, however, think that the chances to make Israel sign the NPT are now better than in 1992 due to the growing international pressure against Israel following its attack on the Gaza humanitarian flotilla in international waters and the killing of peace activists on board the ships. Israel is widely believed to possess nuclear weapons, although it does not confirm this as a matter of policy. The Islamic nations, supported by the non-aligned movement and Russia, vowed to keep the pressure on Israel, saying the momentum should not be missed of making Israel accountable of its secretive nuclear program. This pressure is expected to continue until September, when the IAEA will meet again here in Vienna for its annual general conference. Eva Manasieva, Brest TV from the IAEA headquarters in Vienna.
In related news, Iran's parliament speaker has criticized the UN Security Council's attitude towards Tehran's nuclear energy program as illogical. Ali Larijani says the UN Security Council members failed to use the Tehran nuclear fuel swap declaration to resolve the standoff over Iran's nuclear program. He referred to the new UN sanctions against Tehran and said such moves would not impact the Iranian people. Larijani says the West's disturbing behavior aims to stop the Islamic Revolution and the global awakening. Pakistan has criticized a fourth round of UN Security Council sanctions on Iran over its nuclear energy program. Islamabad says it wants the dispute resolved through dialogue. The Pakistani Foreign Ministry says sanctions will not have any impact on the export of Iranian natural gas to Pakistan. Islamabad and Tehran recently sealed a $7.6 billion deal for the construction of a gas pipeline from Iran to Pakistan. The project is expected to be completed by 2015. Meanwhile, some political analysts believe the new UN sanctions against Iran, like the previous ones, will not bear any fruits.
A terrible mistake, and I can't emphasize that, because Turkey and Brazil had negotiated exactly what President Obama had stated in two letters in April that he wanted. But after all of that was done, the United States within 24 hours dismissed it out of hand and went back to this game of sanctions. The sanctions aren't going to work. And what's embarrassing is that we use all our political muscle to get the members of the Security Council to go along with sanctions that won't work. The Security Council is the mouthpiece of the United States of America, and it's being misled, and it's an embarrassment to what they're doing to the United Nations, which offers so much potential for peace in the world.
Well, Russia says it is in discussions with Tehran on possible new projects of nuclear power plants in Iran. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has said the new UN anti-Iran resolution will not affect the construction of civilian nuclear plants. He also said plans to launch Iran's Bushehr power plant in August remain unchanged. Moscow also says the fresh sanctions resolution will not affect the delivery of S-300 missiles to Iran. Tehran struck a deal with Moscow to buy the S-300 systems in 2007, but Russia has delayed the delivery of the anti-aircraft missiles. The Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has slammed Western powers for imposing a new round of sanctions on Iran. During the fifth Turkish-Arab Forum in Istanbul, Erdogan reiterated his country's commitment to the Tehran nuclear declaration. Jody Sobral tells us more.
The Turkish Prime Minister has lashed out at world powers for adopting a new round of sanctions against Iran at the UN Security Council. The comments were made at the fifth Turkish Arab Forum in Istanbul. Non-permanent members of the Council, Turkey and Brazil, voted against the sanctions after brokering a nuclear declaration in Tehran last month that would have seen Iran send part of its low-enriched uranium abroad in exchange for nuclear fuel for a research reactor.
We informed them, and they all told us this is a diplomatic victory. But then France, China, Russia, Germany and UK all voted no. It's obvious that the initiative was impeded.
Erdogan also urged Iran to continue with the process.
We must stand behind our signatures. That's why we voted no. If we don't, it would be self-defiance and a contradiction.
Attending the forum was the Lebanese Prime Minister, who condemned Israel's attacks on the Freedom Flotilla and the deaths of nine Turkish nationals. Hariri said that Lebanon must be vigilant against Israeli provocation.
I extend my condolences to Turkey and families of the martyrs who lost their lives carrying out humanitarian aid to Gaza. Our region has suffered a lot due to the barbaric acts of the Israelis. We must save ourselves from their provocations.
The forum is a platform for public and private sectors to improve regional economic and strategic ties. Trade volume between Turkey and the Arab world reached $29 billion in 2009, said the finance ministry. The Turkish foreign minister called for full regional integration and described Israel as an impediment to peace.
We're creating a new history in one of the most strategic regions of the world. We must establish a security zone, a zone of stability. The biggest danger to this is the operation of our Palestinian brothers.
Turkey, Syria, Lebanon and Jordan agreed to create a common economic zone free from visa restrictions. Representatives of 21 Arab nations, among them 14 foreign ministers, attended the meeting. Following the attack on the aid convoy, Egypt has opened the Rafah crossing indefinitely. The Turkish Prime Minister today called on all Arab countries to do more to end the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza. Only time will tell if these words are being listened to. Jody Sobral, Press TV, Istanbul.
Well, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has dismissed the U.S. president's offer of aid to Gaza as cheap publicity. Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Zohri said the $400 million aid package Barack Obama has pledged is just a number. Abu Zohri said such U.S. offers are only meant to prettify the image of Israel and allow it to proceed with its criminal activities, including the siege of Gaza. He also criticized the Palestinian Authority for agreeing to negotiations with Israel after Tel Aviv's deadly attack on the Gaza-bound Freedom Flotilla. The comments come a day after Obama pledged a $400 million aid package for Gaza during his meeting with the acting Palestinian Authority chief Mahmoud Abbas. The acting Palestinian Authority chief Mahmoud Abbas is demanding an end to the Israeli blockade on Gaza. This after Israeli commandos attacked an aid convoy in international waters, killing several activists.
Our main demand is how to end the blockade on Gaza. And I believe the world, now the entire world, stands with us. People from more than 32 countries took part in this flotilla, and many world countries sympathize with what happened, because Israel attacked this convoy in international waters, which is unlawful and unacceptable internationally.
Abbas is urging an international investigation into the attack. He says Israel attacked people who were unarmed and had no aggressive intentions. The Freedom Flotilla was carrying essential aid supplies to Gaza. There were activists from 32 different countries on board. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Allegations surface about the CIA conducting medical experiments on detainees. The U.S. and the EU refuse to put Israel's nuclear program under the spotlight. Hamas describes President Obama's offer of aid to Gaza as a cheap stunt. Also, BP shares dive as the company struggles with the aftermath of an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.